Thank you for tuning in to the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Please subscribe to our weekly Boston Bruins Hockey Talk on listening platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, and Spotify Podcasts. We'd certainly appreciate it if you give our show a 5-star rating along with a written review. You can also subscribe to our official YouTube channel for a video version of our weekly program. If you'd like to support our show financially, please go to our blackandgoldhockey.com website and click on our affiliated Fanatics banner before shopping online. Another way to financially support our weekly program is to become a Patreon member to be eligible for weekly Boston hockey prizes and monthly Boston Bruins hand-signed jersey giveaways. Please go to patreon.com/blackandgoldhockeypodcast and donate just $1 per episode. Many thanks for the continued support and enjoy the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Allred. This is episode 270, sponsored by betonline.ag. I'm here with my fellow co-host, Kevin O'Keefe. Kevin, what's up?
Not much, man. It's snowing here in Massachusetts. We got a nice March snowy day going on, and I think the brightness might be getting to Dom because he's wearing some awesome glasses right now.
And a nice segue as usual for Dom Tiano. Dom, thank you so much for joining us again. I know it's hard to get away from us, but let me tell you something. We truly appreciate you sticking around and hanging around. So much obliged for that. And hopefully everything goes well with you, sir.
Oh, everything's great. It's a beautiful spring day here. No snow. I just want to say, Kevin, I can Athena see you, and now you can Athena see me.
Oh my God. That's... Why do we bring him on?
Listen, we want to keep him. Don't talk like that.
True. I'm sorry, Dom. Your glasses are great, and your joke was fantastic.
Thank you.
That's awesome. All right, we are back for another week of Boston Bruins Hockey Talk. We do have a nice little agenda going on here. Well done by Kevin. And I added a couple. It's been really busy the past couple of days, but we do have a lot of stuff to talk about. It's like under 2 weeks to go to the trade deadline. So before we get into all that jazz, let's hear about show sponsor betonline.ag. Football might be over for the season, but basketball is in full stream for both pro and college hoops. From all the latest odds, totals, player performance props to where the next fired coach is going to land, BetOnline.ag is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code CLNS50. That's CLNS50 to get started. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline.ag is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds right to the Olympic coverage, which is the best in the business. From sports right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, BetOnline.ag is your number one online wagering destination. BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports and play your favorite games. BetOnline.ag, it's where the game starts. And betonline.ag, let me tell you, those guys are fantastic. My go-to for placing my wagers on hockey and baseball in the summertime and golf and all that stuff. It's a really fantastic spot to go for all your betting needs. And don't forget to use that code CLNS50 because it really helps our program out. And, you know, we need to pay the bills. So help us pay the bills. Let's get right into it. We do have a good podcast planned out today. Why don't we start? Talk about last week's games. We do have three of them that we need to talk about. On Thursday, March 3rd, 2022, the Boston Bruins were at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada, to play the Golden Knights. This was the second and final time the Bruins played the Knights, at least for the regular season. The last time these two teams played this season goes back to December 14th of 2021 at the TD Garden when the visiting Vegas team beat the Bruins 4-1. The only Bruins goal of the first period against the host Golden Knights was courtesy of forward Craig Smith, who scored his seventh of the season with assists going to forward Trent Frederick and defenseman Derek Forbert at the 13-18 mark. In the second period, forward Craig Smith would score his second of the game and eighth of the season at the 11:03 mark, assisted by forward Charlie Coyle and Trent Frederick. In the third period, Bruins forward David Pastrnak, hashtag Pastrnasty, would score his 30th goal of the season and give the Bruins club a 3-1 lead at the 8:14 mark, assisted by forwards Trent Frederick and Eric Haller. That's Pastrnak's fifth career 30-goal season. At the 14:39 mark of the third period, Beast forward Craig Smith would give the Bruins a 4-1 lead and his hat-trick goal assisted by defenseman Matt Grizzlick and Brandon Carlo. That was Smitty's ninth goal of the season and third career hattie, and really good to see him producing again. The final Bruins goal of the night came via an empty netter at the 18:20 mark of the from the stick of David Pastrnak, who scored his second of the game and 31st of the season. The lone helper came from forward Eric Haller. Bruins goaltender Jeremy Swayman got the victory, stopping 34-36 for his 14th victory of the season and fifth straight win. Not a bad game, guys. As you had, Smitty had a hattie, Pasta with two goals, Freddie with three assists, and Haller with two helpers. Quick thoughts on this game. Start it off, Kev.
I mean, first off, an empty net goal. Who did they pay to get that one? Because they have a tough time getting those. But no, impressive game. Very impressive game from top to bottom. I think that bottom six is really showing up, especially that third line. The way I like to think of the bottom six is kind of like if you were to have a song, the backbone of that song is usually the bass and the drums. Well, that's what this is for this team. They're the bass and the drums for this team. They just really know how to set the tone and really get a message sent. And it's really great to see. I mean, Craig Smith, my God, he just absolutely unloaded after going on a really long drought of not scoring anything and gets a hat trick, and the floodgates really opened.
Absolutely. Dom, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you guys have an agenda to work off, so I'm going off the top of my head. You never shared. But anyway, yeah, agree. We talked about it last week with Craig Smith when we said, you know, when he gets that first one, the floodgates were going to open, and here we are. But it's not so much the goals. It's the work and the effort that have been there the whole time, even throughout the drought, which made everything more impressive. I mean, we can go over the next two games after that too, but even his goal, LA, was just a thing of sheer work and determination, right? So, but as Kevin said, you know, the bottom six are doing what they're supposed to do. And, you know, I look to the first line now, and I don't know. I think for them, they're still putting up points, but they're snake bitten, really, compared to what they are capable of doing.
This was a very good game, in my opinion. I just love beating teams that you know are going to be in the playoff picture sooner or later at the end of the season. It just gives you, you know, the catalyst to play against the top echelon teams. And it's good things. I love beating Vegas. I don't know why I love beating Vegas so much. Maybe because they're so new and so on, but or they're so good. They can be, you know, sometimes they can be very good. So.
And the Bruins have done well against Vegas. And I also got to add that, you know, there are those that say, well, you know, Eichel isn't at full strength. They were missing Pacioretty. They were missing Martinez. But that's still a damn good hockey team over on the other side.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And Mark Stone, too.
And Stone.
Yep. Yeah. The Kucherov effect.
Yeah.
Move on to the next game. This on Saturday, March 5th, 2022, the Bruins traveled to Nationwide Arena in Columbus, Ohio to take on the Blue Jackets. This was the first time of three between these clubs and first time the Bruins would face old friend Sean Corrali, who seems to be doing well playing in his new home state. This was also a former Bruin, Rick Nash's number retirement, and that we might just touch on later in the agenda. Bruins forward Jake DeBrus got the game's first goal at the 10:39 mark of the first period, tipping in his 15th goal of the season, assisted by forward Brad Marchand and defenseman Charlie McAvoy. Fast forwarding to the second period and a 2-1 Blue Jackets lead, B's forward Eric Halla. We get his the 2-2 tying goal at 1:51 mark with a lone assist going to Brad Marchand. That was Halla's 8th goal of the season, continuing a season-high 6-game point streak. The next Bruins goal came in the third period at the 4:40 mark when Craig Smith ties the game at 3 with his 10th of the season, assisted by defenseman Connor Clifton and forward Nick Foligno. Smitty now has goals in 3 straight games. The fourth Bruins goal of the game came in the third period when Patrice Bergeron scored a power play goal and 4-3 lead at the 14:58 mark, assisted by forward Taylor Hall and David Pastrnak. Bergie's 16th goal of the season snapped a 2-game pointless streak. Unfortunately, 3 seconds remaining in the final frame, Blue Jackets forward Jakub Voracek tied the game at 4 apiece, forcing overtime, which posted no results, leading to the dreadful skills competition shootout. In the shootout, forward David Pastrnak was the only player to score, giving the Bees a 5-4 shootout victory, finishing the 6-game road trip. Bees goaltender Jeremy Swayman got the win against Columbus, stopping 20 of 24 Blue Jacket shots. Brad Marchand had a 2-assist game, which snapped a 2-game pointless streak. And Jeremy Swayman, perfect in the shootout, giving him his 15th victory and 6th straight win. Quick thoughts on this game. An impressive 6-game Western road trip, earning 10 of a possible 12 points. Kevin?
Yeah, last game of the road trip. I remember Dom was saying that he expected them to come out a bit slow on that one. Just because they're looking forward to getting home to their families and being done with the road trip. But they were able to pull out a win. You got contributions up and down the lineup. It's one of those games where they should have won it, and they did win it, regardless of what fashion it was in. It's tough to give up a goal that late. But it was just an all-around tough one there, giving up a goal that late in the game. But they bounced back. They won it in, like you like to say, the skills competition there. Yep. They got the win there, so that's fine. But, yeah, I don't have really much else to say. I mean, I'm happy for Halla. He's really contributing. Like you said, 6-game point streak. He's really getting it going and right at the right time too.
Absolutely. Dom, your thoughts?
I was expecting a letdown game. I will say this, on the other side, Columbus works their asses off, man. And that was, they were playing playoff hockey and it was good for the Bruins to go up against that and face a little bit of adversity here and there. It was nice to see Pastrnak do something different in the shootout, but doesn't mean anything because there's no shootouts in the playoffs anyway. So, yeah, they fought it out. They stuck with it. They won the game. But full credit to Columbus for putting up the fight. and full credit for Boston for pulling it out.
Yeah. For me, this game was just, it was another one that was just, you know, seconds left to go and just can't hold down the lead. And, you know, it's something that they need to work on, especially when you're coming down towards the playoffs, because we need, those are the times when you need a complete 60-minute effort. And no excuses there. So, you know, things to work on, things to adjust, and hopefully it works out. But I was hoping that would work out for this next game, but we'll talk about it now. On Monday, March 7th, 2022, the Boston Bruins returned home after almost 2 weeks on the road to face the Los Angeles Kings, a team they beat 7-0 last week at Crypto.com Arena on a Swayman 34-save shutout. The Bruins got on the board first in the opening frame with a goal from forward Trent Frederick, who scored his fourth of the season at the 14:02 mark, assisted by forwards Charlie Coyle and Craig Smith. A bit later, over a minute, LA tied the game at one apiece. Real quick one on that one. Went to the second period. Red hot Bruins forward Craig Smith scores his 11th of the game of season, assisted by forward Charlie Coyle and defenseman Mike Riley. Smitty's goal at the 19:05 mark gave the veteran forward points in three straight games. Under 30 seconds to go in the third period, the LA Kings tied the game, forcing overtime for the Bruins for the second straight game. In the extra session, LA Kings forward Andreas Athanasiou, and I see you, Dom, sealed the deal on the victory at the 1:53 mark of the overtime, scoring his eighth of the year. Bruins goaltender Linus Allmark got the start and goal, stopping and actually had an excellent career record in previous games against the LA, but not on this night. Allmark stopped 25 of 28 visiting shots for the overtime loss. Smith with a goal and an assist, and Charlie Coyle, regardless of the late game fumble, had two helpers in the game, giving him 4 points in his last five games. Quick thoughts on this game, guys.
Great game. That was a lot of fun to watch. someone had to lose. Unfortunately, it was the Bruins. I don't like, obviously we don't like the way they lost there, giving up another goal very late within the last minute. But there's a lot of good to take out of that game. It was a lot of fun. I don't think I can really say much more about it other than it was a great game. It was a lot of fun to watch.
It was a great game. I even tweeted out that night that it was a shame one of the teams had to lose. But I want to pound my desk here, because things that happened that shouldn't be happening to this team. And I know we're going to talk trades later on, but here's the issue. Just under 2 minutes left to play, and Charlie McAvoy was out on the blue on defense on the right side with Connor Clifton on the left. If I remember correctly, that's what it was. They went off. Out came Derek Forbert and Brandon Carlo, which should be your pair out there in the last minute. They should be. Now, I don't know at what time McAvoy and Clifton come back out. Do any of you guys remember?
I don't. Nope.
Yeah. I think it was sometime before the goal. They don't have any trust in their defenders on the left-hand side to be able to close out a game. Honestly, it should be Forbert and it should be Carlo, the two of them out. But you can't ride them for 2 minutes. I mean, we all agree on that. There's no way they can be out there for 2 minutes in those heavy minutes. So here you have a guy that we would all like to see an improvement on Connor Clifton, being forced to go play his offside. I don't care what all the analytics say. I don't give a shit what the analytics say. And I'm deeply into analytics. For 59 minutes and 30 seconds, the analytics were great. But it's the last 30 seconds of that game where they stunk up the joint. Why? Because they don't have the personnel to put out there when the going gets tough. Yep. Now, I want to go to the overtime goal if I can.
Sure.
Everybody knows Charlie Coyle had a brain fart. But if you watch the play develop, this is a three-on-three gimmick. We don't see three-on-three in the playoffs. If this was a playoff game, we wouldn't have seen what we saw. Charlie McAvoy thought he would jump into the rush, okay? So he left a king behind him, which was Athanasiou. Coyle, without thinking, this is his brain fart, and it is his mistake, put the puck in the area where McAvoy would be had it been 5-on-5. Still probably would have gotten intercepted, but he would have been in a position to defend.
Right.
So it was a mix-up on all sides. But I'm not concerned because, like you said, it's a gimmick. It's 3-on-3. We don't see it in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. As long as they fix their 5-on-5, I'm fine with it. And that's my rant. I really wanted to pound my desk, but...
Mobsterdam over there. This rant of the day. Mobsterdam. Mobsterdam. Look, he's looking like he's straight out of The Sopranos right now.
I know, right? I feel like I'm going to get whacked. No, no, but to be serious, the LA game I thought was good because the physicality was there. That's the type of hockey that you traditionally see in playoff style. And I enjoyed it.
Games. That's what they play, back-to-back playoff games.
Exactly. And you know, those are good things to work on with, you know, under 30 games to go in the regular season. So I it's a lot. I mean, it sucks the fashion that it came, but I thought it was an entertaining game. I know people are losing their minds, but I kind of just brushed it off and said, you know, let's go Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Ullmark was fantastic that game.
Yeah. And he's getting torched.
Yeah, getting torched. And he was so good. I mean, that goal that happened there in the final minute, how can you – I mean, it got knocked down by a player in front, and he couldn't see anything, and someone was there to pick it up. I mean, how are you going to fault him for that?
You can't fault him for it. That game had everything. Physicality on both sides, sustained offensive zone time for both sides, great defense and great goaltending on both sides. That was a give me 82 games like that.
Oh yeah.
And I'll be happy.
Oh yeah. I'm totally in agreement with that. All right, let's jump into some topics. That was a bit of a long go at it with the games, but Craig Smith found a great fit on Boston's third line. Should he be a lock at that line for the long haul? I say yes, just by what could happen. Shore up that third line and make the adjustments via trade if needed on the second line right side with the the first line right side with the potential removal of Jake DeBrusk going somewhere. Who knows if that's actually going to happen? But when you think about scenarios and the rosters and so on, you kind of can put the places in play. But you don't, in my opinion, you don't want to disrupt that third line because it's a very puck possession line. It's fast. It's gritty, and obviously Smith shoots a lot, but complemented that. Below is your fourth line who has been playing well, you know, good too. So I don't think we need to mess with any of those lines. I just think it's the first and second that might need a little bit of adjustments. And if something comes in via trade, great. I hope it really happens because right now, if you do move DeBrusk, there's nothing internal that's coming up right now to push anybody out of their roster spots, especially coming down to the playoffs.
Yep, absolutely. This third line is the third line you would see on a Stanley Cup winning team.
Agree. I actually
hands down.
I wouldn't touch lines 2, 3, or 4.
I agree.
I think Holla has done far more better than expected in that spot. Certainly a lot better than Charlie Coyle did. So I don't touch it. Pasternak's been on a tear. Hall is playing the position, the possession and setup guy. I mean, he's even finding Holla, and Hall is providing that no-nonsense, solid defense that you have to have with two guys like Hall and Pasternak out there. What they need to do, if they move Jake DeBrusk, they absolutely have to bring a right winger in. Absolutely. No two ways about it. They're not going anywhere if they don't. Unless you're breaking up that second or third line to put somebody up there. And then
no.
You've messed up what you've just built. And as I mentioned earlier, you need another left shot defenseman. Sure, Vaakanainen is coming back, but he's green, man. He's got no playoff experience. I want somebody with experience there. And then a third move is to upgrade on Connor Clifton, because when the going gets tough, I don't want Charlie McAvoy out there killing penalties. You save him for 5-on-5, key defensive situations and offensive situations, and the power play. If you can improve on Clifton and go with Carlo and player X on the PK on the right side, and Forbert and player Y on the left side, you just alleviated a lot off of Charlie McAvoy's plate.
Three things. First, one thing about Clifton, though, kind of like I'm gonna put this in the same breath as like a Nick Foligno. If we can get out of Clifton in the playoffs what we did last season, sign me up. If that's what he is he's a playoff juggernaut, sign me up for that. I mean, obviously we don't want to go into the playoffs hoping that he's that same guy. So I agree with Dom there. But if he can be that guy as a depth piece, you're sitting pretty. Second thing, another thing that I'm very nervous about when it comes to Vaakanainen, kind of betting on him going into the playoffs, is his health. I mean, we don't know if he's going to be able to stay healthy enough to even finish out the season, let alone play in the playoffs. And then third, let's be fair with Charlie Coyle, because he didn't get a shot with Pasternak and Hall on his wings. I understand that the play style of Halla and Coyle are both different, but Coyle has a ton of skill and possesses some top six qualities that unfortunately he can't always put together. But I myself would be very interested to see what he could do in between those two. And I'm not advocating for breaking up that the Halla line at all. I'm just saying I would be interested to see what he could do.
I don't think he'd be as successful as Hall. I don't. I just think the styles just don't mesh.
I want to touch on your thought about Connor Clifton and his playoff juggernautism. for me, it's, you know, to play in the playoffs, you got to earn your trust. It just doesn't, you know, you don't skate through the regular season, making mistakes, this and that, and earn that trust, in my opinion, for Bruce Cassidy just to say, okay, kid, you're in, you know. He's definitely got to be play better for Cassidy to like insert him into a postseason and however long we last in the playoffs. So and so many people say regular season doesn't matter, it's all about the playoffs. Well, you still have to play in the regular season to get to the playoffs. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting on how everything gets shuffled around and how pieces get moved, if they actually do, because it's pretty quiet right now. But I expect that to be different coming up shortly. Just to touch on something right now, it's like, you know, nope, I won't do that. I just looked at the agenda and I'll save that for later. All right. Let's go back to Eric Haller a little bit. He's proving to be more than just a passenger on that second line, but what is it about his game that makes him a good fit for that line?
Oh my God. I mean, you name it. I mean, he's got the speed. He's got the 200-foot game that he's been consistently showing with those two. He's got a little bit of grit and he's got some skill. I mean, he fits. He may not be on the same caliber of those two players on his wings. For some reason, he's looking like he fits perfectly. Like, it's just, it's a no-brainer to keep him there for me. Why spend the assets on a second-line center this year and possibly have to overpay for one when you could revisit that in the offseason when you have Holla working so well?
I think that the key thing that I'll agree with everything that Kevin said, but add hockey IQ. Mm-hmm. He's got to be able to play with a Taylor Hall and a David Pastrnak. You have to be a smart player. That's not to say Charlie Coyle is not. It's mm-hmm. just the styles don't mesh. But Holla has the IQ to be able to play with those guys, read off of them, understand what they're going to do, and be there as support for them, rather as the person that has to drive them.
What are the Bruins' biggest needs for a long playoff run where we stand today?
I'll let you go on this one first, Dom.
Well, I think we kind of touched on it already. I personally, if DeBrusk is moved into trade, they need a first-line right winger there to replace him. And then you need a left-shot defenseman. I don't want to say compliment, but to slot everybody properly where they should be.
Right.
And then I would like to see an improvement on Connor Clifton on this. And I know about his playoff history. To me, he was great against Washington, but he wasn't so great against the Islanders. And that's what you get with Clifton. He'll surprise you for stretches and be totally okay. And other times in between, he's just there, a body on the ice. So those are the three needs. Oh, and they need Jeremy Swayman to be Jeremy Swayman.
Mm, there you go. Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. And they need Linus Ullmark to step up if Swayman is not getting it done.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, when I look at this offense, I think they are one piece away, and that one piece away is that right wing, from being able to contend with the best of them offensively. And I just specify offensively there because defensively, it's not up to par, regardless of what the analytics say. Just like Dom had said earlier, it's just not there for me. And part of me wants to go forward with saying they actually need three pieces on that back end. I just don't know how well Riley or Forbert will be able to do in the playoffs. And to be honest, I'd rather Grizz be on a third pairing in the playoffs. I mean, that's just, I feel like two pieces on that left side and one on that right side would make this team with the offense be able to compete with anyone. Now, but obviously
you're talking about acquiring four players.
Oh, I know it's not going to happen. I'm just going over what I think they'll need.
But think about just bringing four guys in the off season with a full training camp, how long it took them to mesh. There just isn't enough time to bring four bodies in and expect like that to be ready for the playoffs.
And I know that it won't happen either. I'm just specifying what I think they need to be able to run with anyone. That includes Tampa and Carolina. Now I agree with what you say though, as to what they should be able to bring in and what they should bring in to, you know, hopefully catch fire and be able to maybe catch a team like Tampa or Carolina off guard and, you know, maybe knock them out in a 6 or 7 game series. But for me, it's, I don't know. How do you guys feel about Riley's physicality lately?
Very good.
Yeah. It's definitely been noticeable and needed in certain situations. But he's still got to have that defensive prowess and not like be so worried so much on getting rid of the puck so quickly. Try to carry it up a little bit further, because I think that when he's getting heat on him from behind, or you know, a back check or anything like that, and he just kind of hurries the pass, that's when he's like really making those nasty turnovers. But we haven't seen that lately, so mm-hmm. things are really turning around for him in his game. I think he's gaining a little more trust from the coaching staff. Kevin Dean's probably working with him a lot more to try to, you know, transition out further, get out of the zone, and then if you make a mistake there, it's not so bad as deep as it is in the past when he's given it up and you're only like 30, 40 feet away from the goal and it's normally in the net. But things to work on. I mean, it's a work in progress. On paper, this is not a Stanley Cup team. They're going to have to work hard and together. So if they can't do it together, there's no point in the whole mission.
I'm really glad that you guys said that, because for me, if Riley can continue playing the way that he's been playing, I think he kind of puts himself above a Grizzlick when it comes to the physicality, when it comes to the playoffs. So I wouldn't feel like you have two of the same player there on the left side and like a Grizzlick and a Riley, kind of like a transitional, more offensive driven type player who also can, play well defensively. But Riley has that physicality. He has been showing it. So I would be okay with having him on a third pairing over Forbert going into the playoffs if they go ahead and acquire another left shot defenseman.
I think the key there too with Riley is, since he's been with McAvoy a lot, he's no longer shying away from taking the hit to make the play. I don't know if Chucky is helping him through that or what, or better communication on the ice, warning him like, hey, there's somebody on you, whatever. I don't know what it is, but he definitely is not shying away from taking the hit to make the play.
Moving on to the next topic. This one came pretty much out of nowhere. And it is, should Don Sweeney go for Minnesota Wild prospect Jack McBain? And you guys have a little bit more intel on this type of player. I didn't have much time to do a lot of research. I know he's playing at, is he Boston College?
Correct.
Yeah. So it would be a trade for rights. And this is, sounds like a player that's going to be pretty good, has a pretty decent future ahead of him. But those rights are going to cost not only the Boston Bruins, but any team that actually gets them. So let's hear what the price could be and your thoughts on the player.
Well, with the price apparently is a second round pick for his rights. But I'm assuming that's if there's kind of an acknowledgement in place that the player will sign for the team that trades for him. I think that's a fine price. When you go back and you look at certain players who got their rights traded, who turned out to be pretty good players, which McBain definitely has a chance to do. Adam Fox went for 2 seconds. Hyman, I forget exactly what he went for. Wasn't a second?
Fourth, wasn't it?
Second and a fourth, maybe. Yeah, but he went from Carolina to Toronto, and Hyman turned out to be a good player. I mean, Adam Fox turned out to be a Norris Trophy a winner. So I'm not, now that's not me saying that McBain will be that, but he's got the IQ, he's got the size, he's got the skills. He's got a lot of tools in his toolbox to make that happen. He's 6'4", 218 pounds. That's what he's listed as on Boston College's website. So that's what I'm going to go by, because they're the ones who have him, opposed to what may be outdated information in other places. So he's got a really good frame that's pretty much filled in for the most part. Maybe maybe 5 more pounds would do him some good, but he's got a lot of good playmaking skills, and he has a good quick shot. From what I've seen from highlights watching him, I don't want to say he could be a Joe Thornton do-over, because I would never want to put that type of pressure on someone like that. And Joe Thornton's just a prolific playmaker, but he's got those skills, and he's got that size, so you never know.
What do you think?
I will say this, adding to what Kevin had to say. I first saw him play for the Toronto Junior Canadians in the Ontario Junior Hockey League 2 years before his draft year. So that's what, 2016. I've been doing OHL rankings for over a dozen years. And in 2018, for the first time, I added Ontario Junior Hockey League players because Jack McBain was that good. And I think I had him number 10 on my list. And I would have had him higher, but how high do you go to draft a guy that is guaranteed to spend the next 4 years in college? Because he was committed to getting his degree. He made it very, very clear while he was playing junior A hockey in Canada. So I belong to a bunch of keeper leagues, sim leagues, what have you. And when we did our draft before the NHL draft, and I drafted him in the second round. And everybody's like, what are you doing, dog? What are you doing? I said, well, I can afford to wait 4 years. You wait and see. I will tell you, if the Bruins were to acquire him, he automatically becomes their number one prospect down the middle. Ahead of Brett Harrison, ahead of Stadnica, ahead of Beecher, you name it, he's number one. Would I pay a second? I would pay, let's go this far, because I've already made it public. I would trade the Bruins' second pick plus a B prospect to get his rights if I knew he was going to sign. Because let's face it, where the Bruins are picking will be a very late second round pick.
Right.
Okay. Which is pretty much a third round pick considering where McBain was picked. He was what, the second pick in the third round? Or the first pick in the third round?
So, I don't remember.
I think it was the first pick of the third round. So he's pretty much a late second round pick. But then you have a team like Ottawa or Montreal that offers their second rounder. You're not going to compete with that because it's a much better pick. So you're going to have to throw in something else to sweeten the pot. Okay. I would pay him. That's me. I watched him in junior A for 2 years. I followed him at Boston College. I followed him a lot because, like I said, I had him in my own keeper leagues and my own sim leagues. And I'll tell you, last year, a year ago, everybody's like, Dom, do you want to trade McMahon? Do you want to trade McMahon? No. Remember, you were one of the ones that laughed at me when I drafted. No, I'm not trading. So I would pay it, definitely. No qualms about it.
Since I don't know much about this the player, but now I'm going to put a tag on him. I'm going to start watching some video on him. But, you know, he's a left shot. He's 22 years old. He plays up the middle. He could play wing two?
He plays both. He can play wing or center.
Excellent. Because you know the Bruins love that versatility.
Mm-hmm.
How about his defensive game for a bigger forward? 6'3", 200 pounds. You know, back checking and so on, and away from the puck, he's good.
Good two way forward.
All there. All okay. There.
Good.
The skill set.
His attitude too.
Yeah, the skill. Like, this is what surprised me about him not wanting to sign with Minnesota. If those rumors are true, he's very, very loyal. Very loyal. He was born in Alberta, moved to Ontario. He grew up as a big, huge Montreal Canadiens fan, which is why he went to play for the Junior Canadiens in Toronto. He said from the beginning, I'm going to college. I don't draft me in the OHL because I am going to college. I want my degree. This was a year before the draft. The Barry Colts drafted him in the first round anyway, even though he warned them, like, don't do it. He had the option to go to the USHL the next season before he went to college. He didn't. He remained loyal to the Junior Canadiens and then went to Boston College. But like he said, from day one, I'm finishing my 4 years in college. I'm going to earn my degree. He's that loyal. He's that honest. And that's why I was caught off guard when rumors came out that he wasn't going to sign with Minnesota.
Interesting.
18 goals on the year in 22 games this year for BC as well.
Yeah. And that's accompanied by 11 assists, so 29 points in 22 games. That's pretty impressive.
Very impressive.
What else, another question, Dom, because you've been following him for a while playing in the GTHL, and he played for the Don Mills Flyers. Now, did he come – you said he's from Alberta, correct?
Yeah, he was born in Alberta.
But his family moved to the Greater Toronto area?
Yeah. Okay. His dad was Andrew McBain that played – in the NHL.
Oh, was he in Carolina?
I forget where he was playing when Jack was born.
Okay.
But eventually they moved to Toronto, and he was still young at the time, and that's where he began his hockey career. So, awesome. Well, where he became to get known. I mean, everybody knew while he was playing midget that this guy was going to be an NHL player. I mean, he was that talented.
Boston's got a leg up on this kid, too, because he's here in Boston. All it takes is Bergeron figuring out how to contact him and saying, hey, I'll bring you out for lunch. Let's have a discussion. You never know.
Yeah, but they can't. That's tampering.
Right.
It's just not allowed.
Right. Well, it's not allowed. What they don't know won't hurt them, right?
No. Like, I was asked today, and if I can have a minute, maybe I'll explain it so that the listeners can understand.
Absolutely. Take your time.
Why? Like I was asked, why would you trade for this guy when you can sign him for free on August 15th if he's not signing with Minnesota? Well, you want his rights. You want the ability to be able to talk to him before he can, because, and I don't have Cap Friendly open in front of me, so I don't know the numbers, but you have teams with no cap space. So they can't bring him in and burn a year of his entry-level contract. You have teams up or near the maximum 50 contract limit, so they can't sign him now. If they do, then it limits what they can do on trade deadline. The Bruins, I believe, have 45 contracts signed. They got plenty of contract space to sign him, sign another one if they want. Sign another one if they want, and still bring in two pieces or three after trading Jake DeBrusque and be under the contract limit. So if you wait till August 15th, there's a lot more teams out there bidding. The number that could bid on him right now is limited. So you want to try and get him and have that exclusivity to sign him before anybody else can.
Tom, 40. Sense? Yeah, oh yeah, makes total sense. That number on the contracts is 44 or 50, Dom.
44. Okay, yep. I was out by one.
So they have, but from my Amesbury math, that is six spots, which is attractive because there's a lot of players that are in the NCAA right now that are going through the, are done with their seasons, but the lucky ones are going through the Frozen Four tournaments and everything like that. So. Their commitments will be over soon, so I'd expect that number to go up higher.
Yeah, and of course, trade deadline. So,
yeah.
But if you look at the other teams, look at the teams at 47 or more, and that eliminates how many teams could be in on Jack McBain right now.
Right.
Don't count non-playoff teams because they don't matter. They're not going to be active on trade deadline and acquiring pieces, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So if you don't do what's needed to talk to him first and get into his head that you're already in Boston, you love the city, you play here for Boston College, why not add a professional career onto your resume? Then, you know, there's going to be other teams out there, like you mentioned, that are going to be swarming for his services, you know, and especially a guy of his size. I mean, it's over 6 feet and over 200 pounds is just going to bring a lot of teams a calling. So,
absolutely.
Very interesting.
You know, and he's a shooter. Imagine at some point Jack McBain out there, followed by Brett Harrison, who can really rifle the puck down the middle.
Oh, God. Stop.
Now, I don't want to call him number one and number two, but consecutively, one right after the other.
Yeah, absolutely. And
that'd be kind of like a Bergeron and Krejci type situation, because it's like when I look at those two, and you look at certain facets of their game, they'd be interchangeable. So right. You could kind of see the same thing with a tandem like that.
Right. I don't think they'll be on the level of those two, but
no.
But you're throwing out a dual threat. Imagine David Pastrnak on the left side on the power play, ripping one-timers, and Jack McBain down the middle playing
the bumper,
and Brett Harrison on the right circle firing one-timers.
Oof. You're depressing me, Dom.
Yeah, like McBain's shot from the bumper is better than Bergeron.
So is it safe to say for you, Dom, that he will be easily, without any doubt, a top six center in this league?
McBain. Easily, without a doubt. But you know what? Someone's going to come along and offer him the maximum $925,000 that he can get on an entry-level contract, allow him to burn a year off his contract, and load up on performance bonuses, which can max out, I think, this year at $2.8 million. Okay, with league and team bonuses. So he may not get that much, but he's going to get loaded with bonuses. And like I said, he's a huge Montreal Canadian fan, but let's not forget how much pull the agent has here. You know, the agent is pocketing some money out of this too. So he's going to convince the player on what the right deal is for him.
Now, so let's say he wanted to go to Montreal. They have Suzuki up the middle there. They have, who else do they have there up the middle? I'm drawing a blank.
In Montreal, that's it.
So there would be a slot for him there.
Yeah.
Boston, there's an obvious slot for him. I mean,
Montreal would let him burn a year off right away.
Yeah. I think Sweeney's got to try to do whatever it takes to get this kid. I really do. I mean, Boston needs something there that is promising enough to feel good about if Bergeron were to leave.
Yeah. And I mean, fans talk about Parker Ford. They talk about McLaughlin. They talk about Scanlon. They talk about these guys, right? As they're the big ticket. But, and I love all those players. I really do. But once it became clear, if the rumors are true that McBain is not signing, then sign me up. He's at the top of the list. Yep. The top of the list, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. And you know what should be at everybody's top of the list is getting more black and gold stuff for your fan cave. And you should be talking to Bruce Sullivan from Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia. He's got some amazing hand-signed items, hand-signed pucks, hand-signed pictures, hand-signed jerseys, just like this one that I keep forgetting to send my friend Nick Busa. This is Don Marcotte, hand-signed 1970-72 Stanley Cup champion, fully authenticated right there, just for a dollar. Oh, not for a dollar. You'd have to talk to Bruce Sullivan about that.
I'll take one for a dollar.
Yeah, no kidding. But
that's
anyway.
Why Patreon is here.
Exactly. We'll talk about the Patreon later on. And so we'll hear from Bruce Sullivan. He's got some fantastic items. He was not with us last week because he was doing a private signing with, I believe, Mike Milbury. And I know he's got a couple shoes that he had Mike sign. So the big shoe fight in New York. So mm-hmm. I'm going to have to get one of those shoes. Yeah. So yeah, shoe. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'll send you a picture of it. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, do that.
All right, we will hear from Bruce Sullivan, and we'll talk on the other side, folks.
Hello, Bruins fans. This is Bruce from Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia with our Black and Gold Memorabilia Moment of the Week. We are proud to announce our limited-time Don Marcotte sale. While supplies last, buy a Don Marcotte JSA authenticated jersey with 1970 and 72 Stanley Cup champs inscription for just $59. Buy two and get them for $49 in free shipping. On February 21st, we hosted Big Bad Bruin and Shoe Fight veteran Mike Milbury. grab your Millbury jersey with Big Bad Bruins inscription for just $79, or a puck or photo for just $29. And on February 26th, we hosted all-star Bruins goalie Reggie Lemelin. Score a Lemelin autographed dual-inscribed white or black jersey for just $79, puck or photo for just $29. For more information on our dozens of Bruins hand-signed pieces and your chance to win free memorabilia each week, check us out at our Facebook page, Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia, or email us directly at bostonsportsandmusic@gmail.com. And be sure to tune in each week right here to the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Let's go!
All right, we're back. We just heard from Bruce Sullivan from Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia. Fantastic stuff. If you listened, go back and check out the email, write it down, or follow the Facebook page because he gives away free stuff just for liking and sharing. He does that weekly. So it's Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia Facebook page, and there's a group in there too. So check them out. And like I said, spice up the fan because it needs it badly. We are back. Getting back on the topics, per Pierre LeBrun, the San Jose Sharks defenseman Jacob Middleton is gaining a ton of interest. Boston is rumored to be amongst the most interested. Would this player be a fit for the Bruins?
I want to hear what you have first, Dom, on that.
You know where he's from, right?
No. I do not actually know.
Well, five blocks that way.
Oh, no kidding.
Dom babysat him as a kid or something. This is the story we're about to get.
No, my son babysat him as a kid. That's how old I am.
Never too old to be a babysitter.
Would he help? Definitely. Definitely. I just don't know how you work out the lineup. He's that guy you can kill. Let's put it this way. The kid plays a lot with Burns and with Carlson. Okay. So to be able to play with those two players, you've got to have it up here. Yep. We talked about IQ earlier. So he's got it. Is he flashy? Is he going to bring you out of your seat? No. But he's steady, reliable, has some grit to it. He's a tough, I don't want to use that adjective. He's a mean son of a gun. He'll stick up for his teammates. And he's a guy you can throw out there on the PK on the left side. So, yeah, I'd welcome him anytime.
I just want to touch on before Kevin goes on this. There is a relationship with the Boston Bruins organization because Ryan Mougenel was the coach out in, I believe he was an assistant coach with the San Jose Barracuda.
Yeah.
So he's got some familiarity with this, with Middleton. So, there's always that, that can help a lot, to reach out to somebody that, find out what the organization's all about, what they're looking for, and, so just to get some intel. So that possibly might be a good solution for that. But like you said, where do you put him and where does he fit? I like the idea that you can put him in multiple situations, which is always good when a player that you'd like to get in. And
He's smart enough to be what they thought Forbert could be next to McAvoy. I guess that's the best way of describing it, because I don't think, I don't mind Forbert. I don't hate him. I don't dislike him like a lot of the internet does, but he's just not, he doesn't think at McAvoy's level. So it makes it hard for him. I think Middleton, like I said, he plays with Burns. He plays with Carlson. He knows how to play with those type of defensemen.
I mean, one thing that he can definitely help is the penalty kill for sure. He's a part of that great San Jose penalty kill. I could see him being a good fit there. Right now, he's actually playing top pairing minutes. Do I think he's a top pairing defenseman, though? No. I think he could possibly slot in. If he's all you get, he could possibly slot in on a second pairing. with Brandon Carlo and then drop Riley down to play with whoever and just keep Grizz and McAvoy together? Is that something that I think is your best fit? No, I think there's better things out there for you, but Middleton would definitely be a good pickup for Sweeney if you were to get him.
And he's cheap too. 26 years old. He's on a he's a left defenseman. He signed for $725,000. He's an RFA at the end of this season with arbitration rights. So there's always that hangs over, but that's not the end all be all when it comes to contracts and immediate placement. So interesting play. That's another one I'm going to write down too. You guys giving me homework to do. I love it.
Yeah. You brought him up.
Oh, I brought him up. Yeah, it's a report that we got yesterday. So yeah, we got to touch upon it, you know.
Good stuff. Let's move on to the next one. And this is the most interesting one that I was going to save because some things listening to some hockey podcasts at work today, which I do all the time because I'm a podcast junkie like that. But should the Bruins pursue Claude Giroux in a trade? And I know we've had some back and forth banter with that on our private chat. It's interesting because Giroux is going to be coming up on his 1,000th game coming up soon. This is coming from to the Jeff Marek show, and so I'm cherry picking this, but he's coming up on his 1,000th game. So I think the trade is definitely going to probably be a trade deadline. Nothing earlier than that. I think he's going to get his silver stick. And set off onto the sunrise to a team that's going to want to win, whether it be Boston, whether it be Colorado, or the other several teams that are involved in for his services. But what are your thoughts on getting him? And also incorporate the idea that we do have Hollow, who is playing well, but we haven't seen him in a playoff scenario yet. And we also haven't seen Philly in the playoffs for a while and be relevant in those postseason games. So we don't know what kind of Giroux we're going to get if we do land him. So it's kind of a mishmash here of ideas and what could the cost be? Because this people that are saying Giroux could go for a boat, and then there's others, particularly a couple of people that I know, that are like, hey, it might not be that much. So what are you guys' thoughts?
Dom, you want to take this one first, or do you want me to?
Oh, I'll be very quick with it. Like I said earlier, now I'm not touching lines 2, 3, or 4. If Claude Giroux comes in, he's on the right wing with Marchand and Bergeron. That's my, and then use DeBrusk to fix that defense. If Claude Giroux is the only piece coming in, I'm not wasting my time. Why bother? The cost to get him, to me, I said it weeks ago, even before Philly had their press conference, that he was available, the Bruins would be interested, and that he was going to be strictly a pure rental, because all the talk is that he's going back to Philly next year because that's where he wants to retire. So I don't think the cost would be that much. I really don't. Go from there, Kevin.
Yeah, I 100% agree. For me, I said earlier that this offense, and offense only, is one piece away from being able to contend with the best of them offensively. And if that one piece were to be Claude Giroux on the right side of Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron, that right there is a hell of a top six. Oh my God. I mean, you could put that top six up against Tampa, up against Carolina, any of them, and score goal for goal, keep up, you know, touchdowns, whatever. Obviously, like Dom said, if that's the only piece you're bringing in, you're not doing anything to that defense, then yeah, why waste your time? But that could be a solid piece. And I would do it as long as they are also bringing in a guy who can play in that top four on the left side. and bring in a right shot defenseman, I'd absolutely do it.
Two Quebecians and a Scotia on the same line. That would be interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, all three of them play for Team Canada. So yeah, they've all traveled together. They've all hung out together. And I'm sure the off seasons, there's been some kind of, talking to, because a lot of the players these days, they're more apt to reach out and talk to, it's not like the 60s and 70s where everybody was just like, if you saw them at a bar, you were basically kicking their ass or fighting or this and that. It's more of a very common place for NHL players nowadays. So that would be a pretty sick line. But for me, the concern would be is just the pure rental. What we would give up for somebody that wants to go back.
It's his choice, though. It's his choice, though, Mark.
Right.
Okay, if he says, I'm only going to Team X, then you have a Taylor Hall situation. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked me yesterday, why would Claude Giroux pick Boston over Colorado? Well, simple. Do you believe the rumors, or do you believe that he is going back to Philadelphia next year? And he replied, yes. I said, okay, you have a young family at home. Okay, you're going to move yourself out there and leave. You're going back to Philly. Why uproot your young family? And you're going to go live out in Colorado for a few months. Or you're going to live in Boston and hop in a car or a train or a plane and be there in an hour to go see your family.
Yeah, it is rumored that he did say he wanted to stay close to home as well as have a shot at a playoff run. Boston right. can provide that. How deep will that playoff run go? Depends on Sweeney. Boston is a fit when it comes to his parameters of what he would want to go to waive his no trade clause.
Right. But if again, and we've stressed this a number of times over the last couple of weeks, if he's the only move, there's no sense in doing it.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, there's other options that can be explored on the market with under 2 weeks to go. If it comes down to that, that's for sure. Moving on to the next one. How about the we're going back to Jacob Chychrun. We seem to be talking about this every week, but still it's just he's gaining more attention as we get closer to the deadline that's going to be on the 21st of this month. And the Bruins are rumored to be one of eight teams that continually to be involved in conversations for his services. Is there a deal that actually could make sense for the Bruins here? I'm just going to say goodbye.
I got one deal that I would do for this player. And this is where I messaged both of you earlier and I said, I have a take on Lauri that you guys aren't going to like, but I would include him in just this one deal. I would include Mason Lauri in this deal because what you're getting back is significant enough and his position, Lauri's position. So I would absolutely include Mason Lauri in that deal.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
Oh, I thought you guys were going to hang me.
Oh, no. No, not at all, Kevin. We agree more often than we don't, so don't be so surprised. I will say this. When you look at the big names that are out there or that are reportedly available, it seems to me, no matter what article I click on, which website I go visit, who I follow on Twitter, the Boston Bruins are always involved. Always. Always. You show me a big name or name where the Boston Bruins aren't mentioned as being interested. So I take it all with a grain of salt. I really do. And to me, unless I hear something from myself, I just stop believing it now, because there's no way they can be interested in all of them. You can't be. You can't be interested in Jacob Chychrun and making a solid play for him, and at the same time be interested in Lindholm in Anaheim and making a play for him. You can't. You don't have the assets to do both. Pick one.
Dom, what I think it is, and this is not, I mean, this is from zero of my experience of being an insider in the NHL, because I have 0% of that. But from my belief, it is because Sweeney does his due diligence as a general manager of a hockey team by checking in on all players available. Right. People take that, they catch wind of that, and they throw it out there as rumor. Bruins heavily interested in player X. And this is how it just happens and how it snowballs. Now, out of these players, there's probably only, you can count them on one hand, the amount of players that he's actually interested in pursuing any further than that. And he has his backups and his plan Bs and his plan Cs. And it's kind of hard to figure out which one of those players it is. And it seems to be for Don Sweeney that it's always the ones that you don't think of.
Yeah, but right. Don Sweeney wouldn't be doing his job if he wasn't taking those phone calls.
Correct.
Right. You know, and even, and I got into an argument with somebody on Twitter earlier this week. If somebody's calling about Swayman, you hang up the phone. No, you don't. You listen to see, hear what is exactly being offered. You just, right. You exactly. you need to have dialogue with the team that you want to possibly make a trade with and have a connection with, and talk to them. It's not just, no, slam the phone, move on to the next one. That's not how it works in the NHL.
It's about respect, Mark. You don't want to insult a fellow GM, because one day you want to have a conversation with them. So damn right you listen to what they have to say. And you give a polite no. You don't hang up the phone on a fellow GM. If those are the conversations you're having with people, I'd be clicking the block button right away.
Honestly, with the sunglasses on, on the hip.
I just refuse to have those conversations with people. It's like, that's how you feel? Block.
There you go.
That's how I keep my sanity on Twitter. It's like, people like, how can you stand that place? Well, it's all in how you control Twitter.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Life advice from Dom, block everyone who pisses you off.
I was a football player. He's a defensive tackle, so I block everybody.
There you go.
I love it. You segued into your own little funny. I love it. moving on to the next one. Who do you want to see the Bruins face in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs? This is an interesting question, because as we look right now, I don't have the standings up or the playoff projections, but since we moved into the first wild card, it looks like it's going to be lined up against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Is that correct?
It's Florida, but
yeah. Okay.
I put this topic up there because I wanted to run something by you guys. A little bit of hot takery here. I want the Boston Bruins to face the Tampa Bay Lightning first round. My reasoning for this is because if you get past them, you're probably going to have to get past either them or Carolina at some point. I'd rather it be earlier, because if you do beat them, you are now hopped up on Ritalin and crack going into the rest of your playoff run after you just took out the reigning Stanley Cup champions. And two, if you lose, you got a better draft position and a really deep draft. So give me Tampa Bay first round, please.
Okay. Well, I can't disagree with what you said, but I live in Ontario. I live in the middle of Toronto media market, and I'm watching Leafs Nation right now going, oh, here comes Boston already just in the regular season. And there's only a 20% chance that it could happen. There's only a 26% chance that it would be Tampa, but I want to see Toronto in the first round. Ooh. Not only do I want to see Toronto in the first round, I wish that the Bruins would take Tuukka's night honoring him on March 31st and move it back to the 29th against the Leafs. So it's with the team that drafted him facing the team that he's played every single game for. So yeah. I'm all for putting it to Toronto right now because Leafs fans are squirming. That's to put it politely. They are squirming. And a lot of them are, oh, here comes Boston. We're going to the wild card. And that's the talk here these days.
Oh, yeah. Because the Bruins, Tampa Bay, Toronto had a 10-point gap not long ago. And the Bruins went on this, 10 of 12 points on the road trip and just closed that gap. So now they're within, I think, 3 or 4.
I think it's back to 6 5. Points. As of
today. Oh, is it back 5. To 6? Okay, 5. So 5. Right.
5.
So, but yeah.
They were closer in January, too, when they went on that streak.
Yes.
In January.
That's right. But, yeah, I'd be squirming, too, because, that would be great if that happened again.
Just to have Boston give it to Toronto one more time.
Yeah.
One more time for me living in the middle of
Dom loves chaos.
Please. Nothing sells better than controversy. Let's bring it on.
Now, I want to touch on what Kevin's thinking about the Tampa Bay Lightning here. And it kind of makes me wonder what type of team Tampa Bay will be in the playoffs. And here's my reasoning. The Tampa Bay won 2 straight Stanley Cups, but they never played a full season in those 2 years. And when they did play a full season previously of the COVID crap, whatever, they got beaten out. They got swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets. So it makes me think that, Tampa Bay is good and everything. They were good in that one season. They got a record or tied a record breaking year when it comes to wins and points, whatever. And then they got blown away by Columbus. I kind of think that might happen this year too. So I'm kind of like on board with Kevin here. Like, damn.
I look at it like this, Mark. You go back to the Islander dynasties. You go back to the Oilers dynasties. You even go back to the Hawks dynasty. They had to learn to lose before they learned to win. I truly believe that. You look at the Oilers went up against the Islanders the Oilers were the team. But here is the defending Stanley Cup champions, 4-time Stanley Cup champions, and you're going up against them. And the Islanders said, no way, man. You're not. This is our house. This is our cup. And they taught the Oilers a lesson. And what happened the following year? The Oilers stopped the drive for 5.
Yep. Well, yeah. That makes sense.
You've got to learn to lose before you learn to win. And that's at any level of hockey. I've seen it in junior. I've seen it at the NHL level. And that Columbus kick-assing, I call it that because that's what it was Tampa's wake-up call. Stevie Eisenman knew what he had to do to that team to bring it over the top, and he did it. And then what's-his-name did it last year. Tampa will do it again this year. Tampa's not going to sit still at trade deadline.
No, they won't. But I think that series against Columbus, half of that it too is, I really think Tampa beat themselves too a bit. They kind of just, I don't know. I can't even pinpoint what exactly happened in that series, but it seemed to me like they kind of beat themselves a bit.
They didn't know how to react.
Yeah, it's just they like.
So they learned to lose before they learned to win.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not to say that. I think, because when you look at the Bruins series against them, they always win that first game convincingly. And then after that, it's just an absolute mud stomp from Tampa. they just come right back and they just blow them out in five games. And it's just like, what the hell just happened? This year, oh man, I mean, and usually it's because it's zero secondary scoring in the Boston Bruins lineup. Zero. They have that this year if they're able to get the pieces in place that they need to. So they could be a tough matchup for the Lightning in the playoffs this year. They really could.
I like it.
I can tell you, I don't think any of those teams want to face Boston. Nope. They're all charging for that number one spot to play Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Moving on to the second to last topic of the show. This one is kind of interesting, and I wanted it's been talk for the past couple of days, but I guess I couldn't find it on Twitter or anything. But I guess per ESPN's Emily Kaplan, the Boston Bruins might have interest in a Zdeno Chara return. Is it worth trading an asset for an aging veteran? When I mean asset, I mean a draft pick.
Dom, do you want to say it at the same time?
What?
No.
Okay. All right.
One, two, three. No.
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 I'm totally on board with what you guys are throwing down, but I just kind of want to elaborate on look at the Boston Bruins roster right now and the way it's constructed on the defense. They're a little bit younger, and they're kind of where they are right now, unless there's no trades being happened and so on. One of the reasons why Chara decided to leave the Boston Bruins organization was to get the playing time that he deserved. He could still play at a high level. The Bruins didn't see it like that, so there was a kind of a disagreement, and Chara walked to free agency. I don't see a player like that coming back here to accept the role that he left in the first place. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of, you know.
Yeah, but it's two years removed, Mark, so you never know.
True. That's a valid point. I completely understand that. But, you know, there's that narrative out there that, yes, I want that to happen because I want him to retire as a Bruin. But I kind of like, you know, kind of throw it out there that says, why not let him finish the season not being a Bruin, but next season, if he retires, why not sign him to that one-day contract and then just raise him to the rafters?
Okay.
I don't think we have to bring him back just for that purpose.
No. Here's my thoughts on it. If you're Lou Lamoriello and Zdeno Chara came to you and said, yes, trade me back to Boston, see if you can work me out. You gave me a call and said, okay, Lou, I'll do you and I'll do Big Z that favor because he's meant so much to this franchise. I'll send you future considerations.
Which doesn't mean it has to be anything at all.
It won't. It means nothing.
Right, right.
It means nothing.
Did you need a Kleenex 10 days from now? Here you go. Done.
Yeah. That's the only way. I'm not giving up an asset. Even if it's a seventh round pick in 2029,
Jesus Christ, for
Zdeno Chara, I'm just
Dom
I'm
with
just
the not... glasses on. Oh my God, he just comes out here ruthless.
I love it.
But isn't that what you guys want me for, or do you want me to?
No, I want the honesty.
Yeah, the absolutely. Line? No, I love it, Dom. I love it. Keep going.
Okay, as long as you love it, that's all that matters.
Yeah, but I'm totally on board with him not being here, but sooner or later, it will come down to he's going to get his day in the sun, and the fans are going to love what's going to happen. I'm sure the Boston Bruins organization will do something special for him, but, you know, with windows closing and all this freaking narratives out there about, you know, this is our last opportunity and everything, that's not the move that we need to make. And I'm not, I don't care about the toughness. I don't care about his physicality and anything like that. I don't need his puck flipping skills out of the zone right now. We need faster transition, crisp passes, and playoff style hockey. That's going to be needed coming down the stretch here. And I just don't see that. Him being a huge part of what we're trying to do forward here for the members of this team. So hard no, but I just wanted to touch base on that, and but obviously got shut down by my friend Dom and the 2 years
now, removed. Emily's connected, so if
I'm a huge fan of Emily too, you know. Yeah.
So, but I'm just telling you what the most I would pay for it.
Yeah,
I think when you look at the situation too, Zdeno Chara should have retired 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He's still playing the game, but he's not playing the game. He's doing what we did never want to see Tom Brady do, what we don't want to see Patrice Bergeron do. And that's become a shell of yourself. I mean, right. he's a pylon out there. He just gets skated around regardless of how big his stick is or not. I mean, it's just
the Bruins exposed him last year.
Absolutely exposed him.
Totally exposed him. And they knew how to attack him.
Yeah, and I think this is why I'd be a fantastic general manager for a hockey team. If any of you listening and need one, you can give me a call. I have zero emotion. I don't care about crap like that. Like, you know, I would never make a bad move like spending an asset on a guy who is past his prime, needs to be brought out to the pasture there.
Oh, Jesus.
It's true. It's
true. Getting dark here. It's getting dark.
It's true, though. I mean, his career is, it should be done. If he plays another year, I'd be like, what the hell is going on?
Jesus. With that talk, the next thing you know, you're going to have sunglasses on and I'm going to get waxed.
It's like I said on the podcast we were all on the weekend. I would trade my own mother.
Yeah, I know. That was funny.
I'll trade my mother, too.
It's, you can't have emotions in that business if you're an NHL general manager, because emotions will get the best of you.
Absolutely. Another great segue, Dom. Rick Nash retirement on Saturday night. The Boston Bruins and Columbus Blue Jackets. We talked about the game. It was a shootout victory. Highly respected player. Throughout the league, just a dominant force when he was on before they had injuries, obviously. And, you know, came to the Boston Bruins, and I was just like, man, we got our right wing. We, you know, we drafted David Pastrnak. We developed David Pastrnak. We got him, David Pastrnak, in the league, and look what he's doing right now. But before all that, there was a time that there was a hole on the right side. And I think Don Sweeney really did a masterful job to get that filled. But unfortunately, injuries, you know, head injuries particularly, couldn't, you know, get Nash to play anymore at a higher level. So obviously had to hang it up. But what an emotional night for him. And Dom, I know you've had you know, close, you know, not conversation. You might have, I'm not sure, but I know you've been close enough to see Rick Nash play for the London Knights back in the day and in the Ontario Hockey League. So what kind of night was that for you?
I was actually at his jersey retirement night in London when they retired his jersey there. So, you know, nobody does these ceremonies better than the Montreal Canadiens. And I hate to say that as a Bruins fan, but Montreal does it well. But what Columbus did was beyond that. I mean, that was probably one of the best ceremonies I had ever seen. And for a guy as humble as Rick Nash is, a guy who doesn't want the spotlight. You know, my understanding is he agreed to do it, but the Blue Jackets had to do it his way. It had to be when Nick Foligno was there. You know, I think you mentioned it the other day, Kevin, like, isn't it amazing that all three captains after him were there that night? For the Columbus Blue Jackets, right? This is how humble Nash is, that he wanted to make sure everybody was included. This wasn't a Rick Nash thing. He even said it in a speech. This is a Columbus thing. Remarkable player. I wish the concussions never happened, and that, because all the talk was he was going to re-sign in Boston, and even if we only got him for a couple of years, I think people would have appreciated him more in Boston. As you know, like, who really follows Columbus or watches Columbus? If you're a Bruins fan, do you tune in? Oh, Columbus is playing tonight. Let's tune into that game. No. So they would get to appreciate who he was and what he was even more. But I'll admit, it brought memories back to me when he was playing junior in London and watching him play there. And then the retirement night they had for him in London, it was nothing fancy or big like this, but it just brought back all the memories, from junior all the way through to his last day in Boston.
Kevin, what are your thoughts on the Nash retirement from the former Bruin?
I unfortunately did not get to watch it. They didn't show it on the Bruins cast at all. Or at least if they did, I missed it. But I wish I could have seen it. I did get to see just little, you know, clippets of, you know, it being raised up. But I'm going to have to YouTube some of the stuff and see if they have any of it on there so I can watch that. Because growing up, Rick Nash was always one of my favorite players growing up. I love when the Bruins got Rick Nash. I mean, I was through the roof. I mean, I knew we weren't getting Rick Nash in his prime, but I knew we were still getting a very powerful player who can shoot the puck as good as anyone in that league and really, really works his ass off. And I was so excited to get him, and seeing him get that injury playing for the Boston Bruins to end his career sucked. And then to watch all of the people, I don't even care, I'll say it, who know literally nothing about this game, apparently, sit there and talk trash about the trade and this and that and all this stuff, bringing in a guy like that, it really pissed me off. I mean, because Don Sweeney did a fantastic job of bringing in what they needed at the time. A big, powerful, goal-scoring right winger to play with David Krejci to pretty much make up for losing out on Horton. That's what he did. He did exactly what the fans wanted. And because he gets an injury, they're all up in arms. Sweeney sucks, this and that. Had that worked out and they went to the Stanley Cup Finals, no one's saying a damn thing. You know, it's just right. You can't tell the future. You can't say to yourself, you're like, oh, I can't trade for him because I know exactly what's going to happen. What's going to happen is he's going to get injured in the second game of, you know, this round. Like, you don't know.
But that's just it, Kevin. Those that make the argument say, you know, should have known about the history. Nash had a history. Well, you know what? If Patrice Bergeron went on the market tomorrow, do you think 31 GMs are going to say no because he has a history?
Exactly.
Roll the dice.
Yep. Every player in the NHL is technically injury prone because they're all one hit away from having their career ended.
Yeah.
And circling back on talking about Nash, I know we're still on the topic, but I highly recommend, Kevin, if you do have about an hour to listen to the 32 Thoughts podcast with Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick. Fantastic program. One of my two favorite people. But they had Rick on before the retirement, and he's so well-spoken, constantly learning every day. He's in a development role right now with the Columbus organization. And Jeff actually asked him if he would consider being a general manager. And he said, absolutely, I would love to be a general manager. But
he will be one day. He will be.
But the best thing that I heard was he wants to go through the process of learning everything before he gets there. It's not just, it's more or less like what Don Sweeney did, player development for like about 10 years. And then, you know, seamlessly fit right into a general manager role. But that's how well-spoken Rick Nash was on that program. And I was really impressed by how he loves to get everybody involved. He is not an individual.
No,
you know, he's not. Very impressive, very impressive. But I just wanted to I wanted to add that onto the topics because I thought it was a little bit relevant because he was a former Bruin, but just an all-around great NHL player in his career. So obviously young kids and a family and so on. So best of luck to him and congratulations on the retirement and hopefully you become a GM, you know, who knows, maybe you'd be the Boston GM in about 10 years.
You're getting me depressed again, Mark.
I'm sorry. But yeah, so if you guys don't have anything else to add, we do have a little bit of time left. You know, there's no game tonight, so I'm not in a total rush, but
well, there is OHL, Mark, starting in about 14 minutes.
Okay, then I'm going to rush this to get done then.
Dom, all right, well, I guess I got one thing. Dom, who are the Bruins trading for? What are you hearing? I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with it.
Block.
On the spot. All I will say is quack, quack, quack.
Oh, my God. That was a great, great tweet. If you follow Dom Tiano, you'll understand what we're talking about.
What tweet? Oh, when I went down by the river before the podcast.
Yeah. Did you bring any crack corn with you?
No. I actually didn't even get out of the car. I drove down by,
just drove by the river,
took the picture, and came home because I had to be on here.
Classic. Such a classic. All right. Well, yeah, let's end it because I do want to watch this game.
I got a fridge to attend to.
Oh, yeah. Shocker.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. Folks, for those that don't know, we usually get on here about 15 minutes before we start recording. And I'm always rushed, I'm always the last one to enter the room. And it never fails. Kevin is always putting food in his mouth every time I enter this the room. And to make matters more confusing, Mark named his stomach Kevin.
Oh, we don't need this one.
Yeah, but I did that 10 years ago before I met Kevin.
Yeah. So
it's fate.
Yeah. It's fate. All right, guys. We're going to be wrapping this up. We just want to say thank you to Kevin and obviously and Dom for the time. As always, I greatly appreciate you guys sitting there chatting some Bruins with me. I have so much fun doing this. I really do. But we do have to talk about our Patreon account, our campaign that we have. So when you donate $1 per episode, you get some fantastic stuff, weekly giveaways like a Rick Middleton hand-signed puck and Eddie Johnston, 1970-72 Stanley Cup champ. But also, you get to be involved in these hand-signed jersey giveaways. Like I said earlier, Don Marcotte, 1970-72 Stanley Cup champion, just for $1, folks. So go to patreon.com/blackandgoldhockeypodcast and just donate that $1. We'd certainly appreciate it. It helps us support our and pay the bills at our small sports media company, but also it gives us more money to buy more stuff for the future. I talked to Bruce Sullivan from Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia, and he's got 3 jerseys on the way. I got a Jerry Cheevers, Terry O'Reilly, and I believe I got a Sean Thornton on the way. So,
oh, good one.
Yeah, exciting stuff.
I just got one of those from him too, which is great.
Exciting stuff, and we'd certainly appreciate any financial contribution. And if you can't donate financially, we do ask that you please share, retweet, subscribe, you know, to YouTube. It's all the small stuff really pays off. Like and share the videos on YouTube and everything. It's awesome. So we truly appreciate that. But
and not only that, I also heard before the show here that if you do become a Patreon, Mr. Dom here will the Dom will send you a signed photo of him sitting here in his sunglasses. So that's something to look forward to.
I don't know if you can see that, but can you see that?
Oh yeah.
They're Harley Davidsons.
Nice. Oh, dude.
Sons of Anarchy Dom over here.
Oh man. All right, boys.
Which game are you catching tonight, Mark? Just so I know.
I don't know. Which one are you watching?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't decided yet. There's a few of them. So
either if Sarny is on or Oshawa, I'll catch up on one of those.
I think I might go back and watch Oscar Yelbik's game from this morning. I heard he had a great game, so nice. I might watch that one first.
Nice.
I'll be watching some BLTs.
BLTs.
You boys are going to have to come up to Ontario and we can catch an OHL game live. How about
that? Oh, that sounds good to me.
That'd be crazy.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
All right, boys. Again, thank you very much for your time. I truly appreciate it. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, paying attention every week. I had a lot of fun over the weekend with, Matthias Mantikivi. Wow, I screwed. At least I didn't fumble it up when we did the episode with him.
Yeah.
But no, that was a lot of fun. And we got a lot of good traction on that. A lot of people said great job and so on. So we're going to be doing a lot more of those. But scheduling is a little tough right now. But we'll get something in the works. But we've got a couple players that we're really, really excited to talk to. But I'm working on that. So with that being said, you guys have a great week. We'll probably do another bonus soon this week. But if not, we will talk to you guys next Wednesday and be available Wednesday night or Thursday morning. So with that said, everybody, peace out.
Peace out. Peace out.
I love that. Thanks again for tuning in and supporting this week's episode of the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Please give the show a 5-star rating and write a review on listening platforms such as Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts. If you'd like to contact the show for advertising opportunities or to send us a question or topic idea we should be discussing, please send us an email to blackandgoldproductionsllc@gmail.com. Don't forget to share our program on your social media platforms with other hockey fans and follow our Twitter accounts @blackandgoldpod, @BNG Productions, @BlackAndGold277, and @Kevin_O'Keefe89. Also, please don't forget to check out our official blackandgoldhockey.com website where we cover the Bruins organization from the NHL level down to the prospects worldwide. Peace out.